This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Has Wall Street finally caught on to what the rest of us already know?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the internet. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Jeremy Hobson. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts today. This week, politicians are rolling out job proposals to try to get Americans back to work. One idea, relying on consumers. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is down 265 points already this morning. That's more than 2%. NASDAQ is off 52 points, and the S&P 500 is down nearly 2.5%. The New York Stock Exchange invoked Rule 48 to calm trading on the markets this morning. Jobs reports continue to be cruddy, but in spite of one disappointing employment report after another, the markets kept going up and up until late July. Today's further market swoon has us wondering if markets are finally catching on. For more, we go to Julie Neiman, an analyst at Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. She joins us every Tuesday. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Adrienne.
So are the markets finally coming to terms with where the economy actually is?
Well, Wall Street's ever hopeful, but the biggest problem they're facing right now is this is not a double-dip recession because we've never emerged from the one that really started in 2008. One powerful area made us look much better than we were, and that was manufacturing, machinery, autos, aircraft, and it all went to the export markets. And our trading partners now are all plunging back into recession, so no one will be able to buy our stuff. That's what we're really looking at now. We're tied to Europe and China's health, and they both have a unique set of problems dragging them back down.
So some of the jobs proposals we're hearing, there are suggestions out there that basically count on and encourage consumer spending. Are those going to work?
Absolutely not. You know, bottom line is the Federal Reserve has a couple of dark tools they don't really want to use. But the only thing that's going to work at this point in time is basically jobs tied to manufacturing and infrastructure. 35,000 jobs are created for about every $1 billion spent on transportation. That's very effective. You've got a multiplier effect of 2 to 1. So in the president's jobs talk, he really has to talk about long-term competitive disadvantage that we're having if we don't upgrade our ports and highways and bridges. The construction trade is really the only thing that's going to bring this out. The problem with that, it's longer term. There's no short-term fix for the mess that we're in.
Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Thanks so much.
You bet.
Switzerland just announced it will begin pegging its currency to the euro. It's a dramatic move for Switzerland, which has seen the value of the franc skyrocket in recent months. Reporter Christopher Wirth has more from London.
We think of Switzerland as churning out nothing but chocolate and Swatch watches. But Switzerland actually sells a lot of other things that aren't as typically Swiss, with companies manufacturing everything from industrial chemicals to tiny screws used in German factories across the border. Or make that sold a lot. With countries in the Eurozone in turmoil, Karsten Brzeski, an economist at ING, says the Swiss franc quickly became a safe haven for investors worried about the stability of the euro. That sent the value of the Swiss franc soaring, and the cost of Swiss exports rising along with it.
Now we see that being a safe haven is not always a blessing for an economy, because we see that actually this strong currency really made the export sector suffering.
The move has already sent the value of the Swiss franc plunging, but there is a downside, namely that devaluing the currency will hit Swiss consumers with the opposite problem, inflation. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. By MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by the United Methodist Church, offering an opportunity for listeners to join others to reclaim September 11th as a day of hope at rethinkchurch.org.
All this week, we're taking stock of the economic consequences of 9/11. Today, business travel. You might think that 9/11 did major damage to the market, but turns out the impact's not exactly what you'd expect. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Ginzer reports.
Of all the places to be on the morning of September 11th, 2001, Salman Sredny was on a plane. He was flying from Florida to Chicago on business for the online trading firm TradeStation, where he's now CEO. Sredny overheard the guy across the aisle talking on one of those seatback phones. He asked him what was going on.
And he told me that the White House was on fire, the Pentagon was on fire, and the Twin Towers in New York were on fire. And I said, come on, that can't be for real.
10 years later, Sredny still flies a lot, but his employees do not. TradeStation used to bring its workers to its Florida headquarters 4 times a year. Now company-wide meetings are done by video conference, weekly ones too. Sredny gives me a quick demonstration with an assistant.
Did you get that package I sent you on FedEx?
Yes, I did.
TradeStation saves more than $1 million a year on travel by video conferencing. Sredny says the company would be doing business this way even if 9/11 hadn't happened, but he says the attacks sped up the process. 9/11 also brought about another big change for businesses. It made business travel cheaper. The disaster happened just as online travel bookings were taking off. Sites like Expedia created more price competition among airlines, and 9/11 scared people away from flying. Christopher Elliott is a travel blogger. He says 9/11 finally gave business travelers, who were used to paying top dollar, buying power.
Demand dropped off a cliff, and the few business travelers that remained were in a unique position where they could negotiate.
Sredny says there's something 9/11 didn't change, the need for FaceTime. His company was recently acquired by a Japanese firm. He's headed to Asia by air to do a little grip and grin with his new partners. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, London's Sunday Telegraph is reporting that 4 out of 5 British stores sell men's pants with a larger waist than what's on the label. So those 34s are more like 36s. The Telegraph is using the marvelous term manatee sizing instead of vanity sizing, a trend familiar to most women. Manatee sizing. I'm going to be saying it all day long. Excuse me, shopkeep, are those sex 32s or are they manatee sized? In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
These days, pretty much everyone is talking about this.
I have a lot of friends that have fallen into unemployment.
Actually, I don't think we've seen any decent job growth.
Everybody is pretty much telling the same thing. Not hiring, try back later.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. A special look at jobs and getting America back to work on our breakdown coverage next time on Marketplace from 8 p.m. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.